trying to figure out how to go from here. I knew this was going to be a problem. That's why I was going to reverse the order, and then I decided not to. Okay. So, if I drool in a few minutes, just bear with me as I have my Kleenex. I'm sure it may be a bit strange to have me up here, a single mom who's a lesbian, giving the Father's Day sermon. As a mother of two kids whose father has made a conscious decision not to be in their lives, I know this day can be challenging for them. But I also know that the feeling is not unique to my kids. People who have lost their parents due to death, people who never knew their parents, people who have had to remove their parents from their lives for safety reasons can also face a difficult time. And what about kids who are raised by two moms? They are pressured innocently by well-meaning people to acknowledge an individual who plays no meaningful role in their lives other than as the person who helped bring their creation, a biological father, but not a parent. Not a dad. And while my sister humorously and with love honored me last Father's Day as a mom who juggles both roles, I know for myself I fail miserably as a father for the simple reason I'm not a man, and nor do I play one on TV for that matter. It's a perspective about which I know nothing by virtue of my birth, but I know I've been influenced by many men in my lives, not least of which is my own father. And does this mean that every child must have a father in their lives? No. No, of course not. We know the research shows that children raised in a home with two women thrive and are no different than those children raised in a home with both a man and a woman. But what the research also shows is that those women who are either single moms or lesbian moms raising their kids made an important decision to ensure their children had many male role models in their lives. As the last clip in the movie says, a father isn't the person who helps make them. A father is someone who helps raise children. This can be a grandfather or an uncle, a friend, a member of your community, your church community, or perhaps better put, members, plural, of your church community. Each and every day, every one of you, by your actions and your love and your presence here, are fathers to my children and to others. You influence them, you teach them, you protect them, you show them that despite the issues my kid's own biological father has, thank you, sweetheart. You all step up to make this single mom's life a bit easier. Many of the photos in the movie were shots of men who are dads, present, involved, and loving. But there are many photos of men who also act as a role model and a positive influence to the children of this special place. Of note, I chose to highlight my father, my brother, and my brother-in-law. Neither my brother nor my brother-in-law have children, but both play a strong, influential roles in their lives. And the picture with the little redheaded girl, that's my niece and my my cousin's husband. Eric Johnson, Bob Chapman, Kelly Crone Willis, Paul Fisher, Kleber, Stephen Mead. I could go on, but I'd be here all day. All of you step up to the plate and embody the ideas that it takes a village to raise children. This is a consistent theme for me if you remember one of my previous sermons about raising children in the UU tradition. We all play a role in helping the children of this community grow up to be beautiful citizens of the world. All of us. But today is special. Today we honor the men who have chosen to step up to the plate, regardless of whether they are fathers, grandfathers, uncles, or friends. And for that, I have nothing more to say than thank you from the bottom of my heart. I'm good. Thanks. I want to now open up the microphone for those of you who would like to share a story that you didn't already hand in your card, and to share a story about a man who was influential in your life. And if no one comes up to the microphone, I will start reading and sharing my own story. Thank you, dear.
I wasn't here for rehearsal.
That's okay. See, it's easy. I let you guys do all the heavy lifting.
So I thought it was very fitting this morning, the song Frank D. Fixer, because actually I'd written down my influence was my grandfather. he was an Indiana dairy farmer, and pretty much I hung out with him every day since I, you know, was old enough to walk. And he taught me everything from how to garden, how to farm and take care of the farm animals, how to repair everything on the farm, and then how to live a good life with the golden rule. And just, you know, take care of everything around you, including your friends and family. So he was a great influence. And my favorite thing that I liked to do with him was to help him build and mend fence. We would spend hours during the day hauling stuff to the fence line and working on the fence. And he would show me how all the tools worked and how the fence worked. And, you know, it was just another example of how he would take the time to, like, teach me. So it was, he was a great influence for me.
My father was not my biological, he was my step. We met when I was 9 months old. My mom didn't stand a chance. But when I was 13, he once asked me if I really wanted to know my biological father. And being the smartass that I was at 13, I said, why? My mom's got every illness imaginable on her side of the family. He can't have any surprises. I never once thought of my biological father as needed, because I already had a dad. So I really understand the last message of the movie. It's not who created you, it's who raised you. And I just wanted to make one other comment. I know many divorced fathers as well, and our legal system is so skewed toward the mothers that a lot of divorcee dads don't get to spend a lot of time with their children, and or fear losing them if they do want to go through a divorce, if just things aren't working out. And I think it's just a travesty of justice that that divorced dads have to work so much harder to stay in contact with their children. Thank you.
So I talked about my dad. My dad was a free speech activist from Berkeley. That's where he and my mom met. And I think the greatest gift that he gave me and continues to give me is he is a staunch liberal, but he really taught me how to be a sort of thoughtful, measured, intentional political person. That it was, he didn't support the idea of any sort of knee-jerk, instinctual politics. He wanted everybody to sit around and talk about things and decide on things, and I think that I carry that forward and hope I share that with my son.
This about my dad. The episode I share is that he used to take me out to jazz concerts and since I was little. So we got to see a lot of really nice bands like Dizzy Gillespie and Miles Davis and all kinds of really famous jazz. Thank you. People and so like we don't relate to get, you know, with a lot other things, but music is something that brings us together. The reason I'm kind of crying is also because as I'm saying this, I just wanted to recognize that, you know, another good dad in my life is actually Ed, and I had no idea, but I must have sensed it at some point in my life. And at the risk of making myself look bad, I want to say he's the guy that gets up, you know, whenever at night in the middle of the night. He hears my daughter first. So I just wanted to say that for him, too.
Well, I was thinking about a story about this influential person. You know, I kind of focused on that, and I was thinking about my dad and this story he used to tell me all the time whenever he was a kid. He and some friends of his made this what was called a turtle club. And what they would do is they would go down and they would catch all these turtles. And then what they would do is they would put them in boxes and put a postage stamp on them and send them to all these pen pals all across the nation. And what would happen in return is all these pen pals would send all these exotic turtles from all over the country. And so they really had this whole network thing going. It was really quite exciting for them to get all these turtles from Arizona and California and Oregon. And And this went on until one of the turtles escaped inside one of the post offices and caused quite a terror as the postmaster was chasing it down. And eventually they came over to my dad and said, "You got to stop this right now." The reason I'm bringing this up is because, you know, from talking to my aunt about this, who grew up in the same household they did, you know, the story was radically different. They grew up during the Depression. They grew up in an alcoholic household. They grew up with no dad. You know, everything was horrible. Everything was miserable. And he was completely delusional for even coming up with this kind of stuff. But what he taught me was from this is that irregardless of a living situation, you know, there's always a part of it that you can do to make something happen, you know, in the positive. And that's something that I've always tried to carry. You know, I don't have to tell all my miserable stories in order to be alive today. I can tell my living stories and be happy. And so I'm thinking of that today on Father's Day. And I miss him. You know, but, you know, he taught me that, you know, life is for the living. So I'm supposed to go ahead and live it.
I was going to write down some of the various stories about my dad, who's probably one of my chief advisors. It's the biggest role that he helps with. Rather than being the disciplinarian, he tends to do the, "Well, if you ain't got it by now, all I can do is advise you, you know, and try to steer you towards the decision I'd really like you to make." But instead, what came out was my Uncle Briscoe, who was actually the main father figure for my father. And one of the very first things that I remember about him was he was the first male that I knew that laughed loud and proud. The display of emotion was just amazing. His eyes would light up and it'd get bigger and dancier and it just couldn't contain it. And he would just laugh till his sides hurt. He'd be crying. And there'd be no way that the rest of the room could even dare not laugh along with it. It would just infect every single one of us. And it was really cool that that could happen from a child, a woman, a man. It didn't matter. He was listening to each and every person with the same amount of attention, the same amount of input, that same acceptance. And it was really cool to see that outburst of emotion and joy and that acceptance has passed to my father, thanks to him, who has in turn passed it to his children.
I could go on about stories about my own father. He chose not to take promotions at work because he knew it would interfere with being at home with us. He grew up in a very abusive household, and he made a very, and I only found out about this as an adult, of course, that he made a very conscious choice to stop the cycle. He drew the line in the sand, and it stops here. And I value him tremendously for that. But, you know, another important role model that I had in my life was my senior year in high school physics and math 4 instructor. I know for a fact I wouldn't be Dr. Berkeley, my degree is not in physics or math, by the way. But I wouldn't be Dr. Berkeley today if it wasn't for him, because Mr. Couch pushed us. He called us all, and my maiden name was Sosnowski. It was Miss Sosnowski, Miss Peak, Mr. Tyler. He showed us enormous respect in the classroom as adults, as we were all on the cusp of it. And he pushed us to do homework. And I never had to study really hard before that. And I learned. And it wasn't until I went to college and I saw what a difference that made that I was very grateful for the role that he played. So thank you to him. And he died suddenly a few years ago. So I hope he's doing well. So I'm going to read the ones that were given to me anonymously. I was fortunate to work with an organizational consultant, Roger Fritz, who guided my early line management career and was a de facto personal shrink who helped me understand myself and others. He died about 8 years ago, and I still miss him. My father can do anything. I learned many valuable lessons from a wonderful boss I had for many years. The lessons were very valuable when I had that job. One reason my papa is special to me is because he taught me to play disc golf. I can't imagine who that was. Dan Chortikov was a teacher of anarchist history and an ex-weatherman, and he was my professor for one summer. He's a remarkable example of nonviolence, not just fists and guns and bombs, but nonviolence in his words and actions. Professor Altman Sweetheart, when I was a college freshman, he gave a lecture which persuaded me to rethink my vocational goal. When I was a senior, he persuaded me to go to seminary, even though I was unsure about becoming a minister. That year at seminary convinced me that I wanted to be a professor rather than a minister, and a Unitarian rather than a Lutheran Christian. My male influence was my father. My memories are filled with fun, love, and happiness. I grew up on a farm in West Central Illinois, and my dad was my teacher and hero and taught me and my love of nature, animals, and gardening. I was daddy's girl. He let me be involved in all farming aspects. My favorite was helping him deliver seed to customers and driving the tractors. He nurtured me to be who I am. I thank my dad and brothers for instilling in me an abiding love of music and art, self-deprecating sense of humor, and love of all things silly and creative and humble. My father's mother died when he was 12. His father, who was a civil engineer and traveled a lot, felt unable to cope with four children. He gave the three girls to relatives and put my father in an orphanage. He was adopted by a family that wanted farm labor. He never talked about them. He left when he came of age. He worked his way through college, became a college professor, was the head of the Department of Economics for 30 years at Drake University. When I was about 40 years old, my father, during a visit, said to me, "I don't have to worry about you and your sister. I know you won't be getting into any trouble." I love that. My dad didn't say that to me. The patience of my grandfather. My dad, who taught me that being lazy would not be tolerated, to be lazy would lead to an unsuccessful life, and being a worker would lead to a happy and satisfying life. Cool. Any last minute additions anybody wants to add? Okay. I hope the message to be taken away, I think, today is don't listen to the media. Men are important as role models, and it's important for all of our children to learn from everybody that they can about what it means to live a full life. And I thank all of you for doing that. So our last song, if you're into some Eric Clapton, is "To Listen to My Father's Eyes." The lyrics are in there, sing along, and then we will exit with the leader of the band again. So.